Okay, so game show. Who's got one? Favorite game show? Wait, Wheel of Fortune. I have one. Wheel of Fortune. Jeopardy. Those are the smart people. Huh? The Newlywed Game. Really? Wow. The Gong Show. We determined at the other service that the Gong Show wasn't really a game show. But we can all dance the dance, right? Dun, 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 dun. Okay, never mind. No match game? No family feud? No, what was yours, Matt? Name that tune. I can't play that one. Trust me. Yeah, your match was match game. Leah, what was yours? Oh, Leah's gone. She was here. She's gone. I can't remember what hers was. If you're over the age of 60, don't raise your hand. But if you are, you might remember a show, a game show called I've Got a Secret. Remember that? I watched a couple of them online. It's a fascinating show. Do you know it was the sixth most successful show in America's history, game show? It ran for 15 consecutive seasons. And the idea of the show, for those of you who don't know, apparently is very simple. There would be a panel of four Hollywood stars, and the co-host, a guy named Gary Moore or Bill Cullen, would a contestant would come out, and they would have a secret, right? And it was the job of the panelists, those four Hollywood stars, to guess the secret of this person, right? And what made the show so popular, I think, is that the contestant would whisper to the host what the secret was, and it would show up on the TV screen so that the TV audience and the audience knew the secret and no one else did. See, so I think that's right. So they had some interesting guests. They had this guy. Did I not put those? Nope, don't put that one in. Did I not put in Colonel Sanders? Good golly, I'm a goofball. Okay, so there's Colonel Sanders. He was on. Does anybody know what his secret was? And don't say recipe. All right. His secret was, I mean, get this, that he began his first restaurant on his first Social Security check. Yeah. So those of you who think you're too old to do anything, talk to Colonel Sanders, right? And then they had a guy named Pete Best. Anybody know who he is? Matt? Former drummer for the Beatles. Not just former drummer. He was replaced by Ringo. So he was the first drummer of the Beatles, and then he got bumped because they didn't like him. But my favorite was this old guy named Samuel Seymour, right? He was the last surviving witness of Abe Lincoln's assassination. He was 5 years old, and you can Google, you can watch this show, it's fascinating. He was 5 years old, and he saw John Wilkes Booth jump and break his leg, and he didn't really understand what was going on, and no one else heard the gunshot because everybody was laughing at the joke that apparently was told on stage. It's a fascinating. Anyhow, so this show, I've Got a Secret, was popular because we all have secrets. The Gospel of John tells us a story about this one encounter that Jesus had with this woman at a well at high noon who had a secret. In fact, her secret was such that she didn't want to ever run around with anybody or meet anybody because she was afraid of running into people and talking to them. And it happens at a sacred place in Jewish history. It happens at what is known as Jacob's Well. And it was sacred because in the book of Genesis, Jacob, one of the patriarchs of the Jewish faith, met the love of his life, Rachel, at that well. And so it became a holy place in Jewish thought. Well, John tells us the story of an encounter between another man and another woman. It wasn't a romantic encounter like Jacob and Rachel, but it was a theological and spiritual encounter. In fact, it's a conversation. And it's the longest recorded conversation that Jesus had with anybody in the Gospels. So if you have your Bibles, open them to John chapter 4. We're going to begin at verse 7, and we're going to see how we do with this. Verse 7, chapter 4, Gospel of John. A Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me some water to drink." His disciples had gone into the city to buy him some food. And the Samaritan woman asked, "Why do you, a Jewish man, ask for something to drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" And Jesus responded, "If you recognize God's gift and who is saying to you, 'Give me some water to drink,' you would not be asking him, and he would give you, you would be asking him, and he would give you living water." And the woman said to him, "Sir, you don't have a bucket in the well that is deep. Where would you get living water?" Now, this is a fascinating story because, first off, the woman was there in the middle of the day. She was there in the middle of the day because, well, I believe she had this secret. And it was safe for her to go in the middle of the day because all the other people in the village, in the community, all the other women, they would go early in the morning before the heat of the day came. But not this woman. I always kind of imagine what her face would have looked like when she's walking up to the well, right? It's 12 o'clock. She expects the thing to be empty. And instead, here is this man that she doesn't recognize sitting there. And then when he strikes up a conversation with her, that was even worse. Because first off, he was a rabbi. She could tell by the way he was dressed. He was Jewish. She could tell by the way he looked. And a rabbi would never talk to a Samaritan woman. In fact, a rabbi would never talk to a woman. In fact, a rabbi would never be in Samaria to begin with, but there was Jesus. And so he strikes up this conversation. And in typical John fashion, she doesn't understand what's going on. He talks living water. She's still talking water from a well. Let's see what happens. Moving to verse 13. And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water," pointing to the well, "will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. The water that I give will become in those who drink it a spring of water that bubbles up into eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I'll never be thirsty and will never need to come to draw water." Now, again, she misses the whole point. But she knows she wants this water. I mean, she wants this so bad that she is carrying on a conversation with a stranger. She is carrying on a conversation with a Jewish stranger. She is carrying on a conversation with a Jewish rabbi stranger. Because she wants what he has to offer. And then it gets a little edgy for her. For then Jesus says, "Go, get your husband, and come back here." And the woman replied, "I don't have a husband." Now, we know the story, some of us, right? So we know what she did was tell the half-truth. She didn't really lie, right? But she really didn't tell the truth. And I think the reason why she didn't tell the truth was because she was afraid, right? She had this secret that she wanted no one to know. She had lived the last few years hiding the secret from the entire village around her. She sure wasn't going to let it be known to a man, a Jewish man, a Jewish rabbi man who she never saw before. And she was afraid because I think she thought, if he knew my secret, he may rescind his offer. He may not give me the water. Now, if I'm correct, and this woman had a secret, I am willing to bet that she's not the only one this morning that has a secret. I'm willing to bet that most of us, if not all of us, have a secret we would prefer that no one around us ever finds out about? I mean, because, well, we all have secrets. I mean, some of our secrets are kind of fun, some are kind of silly. Like, I guess Leah has talked about her secret about not liking brownies and ice cream, which is weird. She likes brownies, she likes ice cream, she doesn't like them together, I don't understand. And I guess she also told you a secret about she doesn't like elevators, right? Now we all know, push her in the elevator on the, over there and just lock it and let her just go crazy, right? So some of the secrets we have are kind of silly, and then some are kind of scary, some are kind of dark, some are shameful, some are about mistakes that we've made in the past, but we all have them. And we have some secrets that we share with those who are closest to us, right? Your husband, your wife, your parent, your best friend. But then we have these secrets that we keep just to ourselves. And the people who do these studies, they'll tell you that's the most unhealthy thing you can do. That because when you keep a secret to yourself, one that is painful, one that is shameful, one that hurts, it can have a negative effect on every part of your life. It can affect your physical health, your emotional health, your spiritual health, your mental health. And if you have one of those secrets, it can keep you up at night, right? And it can make you be isolated from community because you begin to believe that if anyone ever found out about that secret, they would reject you, they would judge you, they would devalue you, they wouldn't want to be around you. Anybody have those? Those are secrets. But yet every therapist will tell you that the best and smartest thing you can do to be healthy is to have a safe environment to share your secret with someone. Right? But we don't. Because we're afraid. We're afraid that if you know about me and this part of me, then you won't love me like you say you do. Or you will reject me, or you'll judge me, or you'll devalue me, or you'll push me to the sidelines. And so instead of sharing, we hide it and we bury it. And over the years, it begins to affect everything about us. Well, there was this guy in 2004 named Frank Warren. And he understood the psychology of secrets. And he understood what most studies show is that people with deep, dark secrets are yearning to share them with somebody, are wanting to share them with somebody, but don't have any place safe to share them. So you know what this guy did? He printed up 3,000 postcards that looked like this. It was just simple. They had his address on one side, a place for a stamp, and then directions. And what he did, he invited 3,000 people to anonymously write their secret on this card and mail it into him, right? And he gave a few tips to be brief, to be legible, to be creative. And the most amazing thing happened. He started to receive these cards in the mail. And he took these cards and he made a collage out of them. And this collage became an art project, and it got picked up on the news, and the thing went viral in 2004. And so he started a blog called postsecret.com, and he promised in the blog that he would read every secret that came to him, and that every Sunday he would post 10 to 20 of them online. And if you go to postsecret.com, you will find today, I think, 15 or 18 new secrets that weren't there yesterday. And it is, since 2004, it has gotten well over a half a billion visits. And today, it is the largest advertisement-free blog in the world, which means he doesn't get paid a dime for this blog. He just does it. Because he understands that people need a safe place to share their secret. Now, some of the secrets are funny, and some of them are just sad. And some of them you read, and you will swear that you must have sent it in while you weren't conscious or something. Right? So I'm going to show you some. And I tried to pick a, there were some heavy ones we didn't choose. This is one of my favorites. And people got real creative. He stopped getting the blank postcard. He got this on a Starbucks cup. I give decaf to customers who are rude to me, so just be careful when you go to Starbucks. This is one. Don't show up. Okay, well, anyhow. Yeah, you show. This is one that Jill thought maybe I sent in because it's true. I'd rather you be dead. It'd be easier to explain why you're gone. I used to think that my secret, I used to think that about my dad when I was growing up, because people say, where's your dad? And I used to pray that I could say, well, he died, rather than have to explain why he left us. And so that was, when I saw that, that is now, I've saved it. That's me. Next one, this broke my heart. I mail my Christmas cards obscenely early because I'm afraid if I don't, no one will send me one. I know. That's not even one of the sad ones. Look at this one. This is Matt's favorite, I think, right? You chose this one. I tell people I'm an atheist, but I believe I'm going to hell. And then this one will break your heart. I'm not scared about dying. I'm scared that no one will care. There was one that I didn't show, and I'm just going to tell you, I had tears. This person sent this secret in saying, whenever I hear someone has a terminal illness, I get envious. And there's some hurt in this world. This one made me smile on the top of all the heavy ones, right? And you can't read it, but it's a school bus. And it says, when we were talking on the way home, you asked when the happiest moment in my life was, and all I wanted to say was, now. That's the sweetest thing. It was so good to read one that was sweet after reading heavy ones. This is one I accused Connor of sending in. I'm afraid I'll never find a church with a pastor as good as my dad. You know, Connor likes to think he's really smart, but if he would have been smart, he would say, yeah, Dad, I send it in. No, Dad, I never heard of that place, right? And I said, Connor, you're such an idiot, right? Because if you would have told me you sent it in, you would have had anything. You could ask for a new car. You would have had it, right? So then he backs up, yeah, Dad, that's my handwriting. I'm too late. I just love that. Right, Rusty? Isn't that like the best? This made me smile. We all have secrets. Every one of us. And some of them are just sad. Some of them are so filled with pain and with hurt. And we just hold on to it. We hold on to it because we're afraid if someone really knew. Someone really knew that about me. They would judge me. They would reject me. They would. So we just keep it. But see, here's a beautiful thing about this encounter. Listen to what happens. And Jesus said, go get your husband, come back. And the woman replied, I don't have a husband. And Jesus answered, you're right to say I don't have a husband. You've had five husbands. And the man you're now with isn't your husband. And her secret's out. You see, that was your secret. And this Jewish rabbi stranger knows it. And if she was to write into postsecret.com, her postcard would look something like this. I've been married five times and now living with a man who isn't my husband. And she carried that for God knows how long, so afraid that she would be rejected, that she would be judged. And yet Jesus knew this the entire time. And you know what he did? he still offered her the living water. Says to me, it's okay to have our secrets, but we need to share them in a safe place. So we're giving you a safe place. I think the choir members have some cards to give out, right? Hey, Gail, would you tell the UM Army people they can just come in and quietly sit somewhere? They're waiting. Right, choir members, you guys passing this out or what? Well, get up, pass them out. That would be the cue. People on Facebook watching us, their cards. You can go online and you can, tomorrow, you can download one and do this with us. And here's what we want you to do. You're going to get a card, and we don't want your name on it. There's instructions on there. And all we want you to do is to fill out the card with a secret. It can be funny and be about an elevator and be about chocolate brownies and be whatever you want. But here's what we're going to do. You're going to be invited to put them in the boxes up front. And I think there's two up front. Is there any in the back? Are there any boxes in the back? Okay. And there's a couple in the back. And what we're going to do with these, we're going to Monday, we're going to break open the boxes, and we're just going to put them in one box, right? And we're going to mail them to postsecret.com. I emailed Frank Warren and told him we were doing this, to expect a couple hundred of these strange cards. And I don't know if he'll post them. I don't care. This is about us being able to share in a safe place. So take a moment, if you want, fill it out, put it in, and we'll give you some time to do that. One day, high noon, this woman at a well had this brushing encounter with the holy. And what she learned that her secret didn't matter because he already knew it. And that he didn't judge her and he didn't reject her. He simply loved her. Maybe today you'll not only learn that, but maybe you'll actually begin to believe it. Your secret, no matter how dark, no matter how silly, he already knows it. He knows every word you're going to speak, every thought you're going to think. And he's not going to judge you. He's not going to reject you. He's simply going to love you. And that's the good news. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And receive this benediction. And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace both now and forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit go from this place. May the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. May you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do, nothing, that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine what your day would be like if you lived it believing that? You'd have a pretty good day. Take care. God bless. And we'll see you next week.